Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hello there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. Today, we have a show I'm really excited about. We're talking to Kate O'Connell, who's a child and family therapist, and she has actually created a new form of healing, a new form of psychotherapy that takes us beyond the traditional "there's something wrong with you and you might be crazy" dynamic of traditional psychotherapy. This old school psych can sort of have a way of pathologizing people and labeling them and really working kind of only one level of their being, the level of the psyche of the mind. Kate's method and her book is called Beyond the Imprint, and it shows us a new paradigm of thinking within the field of mental health counseling and really brings a kind of holistic approach to this process. Her method can help someone release their old imprint and bring about a change at a cellular level, which sounds so exciting. I can't wait to hear all about it. So she's going to share with us how to do that today. And that imprinting can distort our self-identity and create a lot of, you know, dysfunctional behavior and old relationship patterns that don't work. And she has this breakthrough way of helping us release that. And I can't wait to talk about it. So welcome, Kate.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, so I'm just really, since I do a lot of therapy work with my clients myself and kind of have a blend of therapy, spiritual counseling, and energy work, I'm just dying to talk about this new model that you've invented. Tell us a little bit about it.
Right. So what came about over years of practice was noticing things that didn't seem to be very effective in creating significant change in people's lives. And what I started to notice is in traditional therapy, people would come in and just tell their narrative over and over again. And the narrative tends to have a victim-perpetrator theme to it, in which the individual continues to identify as being the victim of circumstances that are outside or from their perception beyond their control. And so what I started to understand in looking into other areas of science and doing research, and as well as noticing what wasn't working, is the understanding that we are imprinted at the cellular level at the moment of conception when we inherit memory from our respective DNA lineages going back, as far as I'm concerned, forever. Scientists in the field of epigenetics have recently identified and been able to measure 14 generations. So that informs intergenerational patterns of behaviors and experiences. And so primarily what I'm identifying is that we are unconsciously at the effect of memory and imprinting through conditioning, through what we've absorbed from the limbic brain at earliest stages of development in the womb and after birth from our environment, depending on how safe or unsafe our environment was. And that all of that has us primarily defending the original traumas and wounds. And so our defense mechanisms have been created unconsciously to ensure that we stay in the body and on the planet. But at some point, it becomes obvious that they are the stumbling blocks for us achieving our desired experience.
Right. So you're saying that it's like programmed into our cells, and believe in epigenetics, into our DNA, actually, that to carry on the wounds and problems and energetic imprint as well of our family of origin, and that we absorb all that stuff at conception and then in utero.
Yes. And then what we've experienced from the moment of birth, depending on how, you know, stressful, chaotic, abusive our environments were, or specific experience and catastrophic events, all of that is encoded in the 50 trillion cells of our body as memory, I refer to as the imprint. And so we are carrying all of that around with us, and it's informing very distorted, limiting beliefs about self, others, and reality in general. and tends to have us feel like we don't have autonomy or control over creating a different experience, one that isn't imbued with pain and suffering.
Yeah, well, it's not very empowering, really, if this stuff is coming at us from a cellular level. And probably that explains why people tend to be so unconscious about their patterns too, right?
Correct, yes. And patterns in my training in family systems therapy that had me understand patterns and how to track patterns was a big key in the development of this modality. Because what I learned was, in working with a small collective that I have over 12 years, is that the patterns are not particularly unique, that we're all really doing the same thing all the time. And when you get right down to it, there may be variations in our narrative, but they're pretty consistent. And they all have to do with, to the degree that we've been chronically stressed and traumatized, and the defense mechanisms that we've created in order to ensure that our survival. And whatever physical, mental, or emotional dis-ease expression comes from all of that would be determined by what our genetic vulnerability is to manifest any of those expressions.
I think epigenetics is so interesting. It seems like such a breakthrough to kind of, you know, look at how trauma your grandparents had might have, you know, really trickled down not only through the vibration, you know, energy field, but also through our genes. It's kind of a cool thing.
I'm curious
about how you go about healing this then, if it's like coded in the cells, like what do we do about it?
So the very first thing that we do is we start to help people become aware of the fact that this is in fact true, that this is what they're at the effect of. And so what we're doing is we're making them more aware of what their defenses are and what stimuluses in the environment trigger and activate them. Because in the trigger and activation, all that's happening is the stimulus in the environment is touching in on a memory that is in resonance with what's occurring in the environment. And so we would have a tendency in our conditioning to think that whatever we're experiencing is unique unto us to a certain extent, and that these stimuluses we tend to take very personally because they're usually delivered through personal relationships, spouses, children, bosses, those kinds of things. And so just helping people become aware that that's what they're at the effect of, and helping them understand that they can actually dissolve these imprints is the beginning. And so I start to train them to become more body focused, more body aware. In the age of enlightenment and reason, we've become very, very sort of mentally preoccupied. That's primarily where most of us are oriented. And there's a significant disconnect between the mind and the body. So I help people become far more aware of the signals that the body is sending them. And once that happens, then we can start to train people to create space between the stimulus and the trigger, and then what our response is to it, because it's our response that reinforces these imprints and memories. And so over time, people become very aware and they're able to develop neutrality and equilibrium in response to stimulus that might have previously activated them and had them, you know, engage in very hostile and conflictual styles of behavior with other people. And then we also work with modalities within the field of energy medicine. I personally use desert flower essences, very high frequency desert flower essences that are peeling these imprints away. And it's so profound. And then the energy medicine that I facilitate, the energy work, similar to what you do, also is very profound because it's working at very deep levels. And people have very significant changes.
Yeah, I find the same thing too, you know, in my practice, which really combines like psychic work, you know, counseling, spiritual counseling and energy work, that somehow when we put the energy work in there, it can take people out of their minds. Because I think we need to have some awareness in our mind of what our patterns are. But once the mind has figured out the patterns, it's kind of done. Like, we can't solve that problem by thinking our way through it. We have to like clear out the feelings and clear out the energy, right? The energy field, right?
Right. Well, what it is that for me that's key about the energy work and working with the essences is that they get underneath the defense mechanisms. So, you know, you put somebody horizontal on a table and you start channeling really high frequency energy, and they have profound experiences that that will definitely get their attention. And so in doing that, it also creates an environment of incredible sacredness and safety where they can feel like it's actually safe to show up, where they don't have to be guarded. And, you know, just reflecting back to people how profound and awesome they are, that in of itself is incredibly healing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think, you know, oftentimes we're really thinking about what's wrong with us, you know, what our problems are, what's wrong with us. And even traditional psychotherapy, psychotherapeutic models sort of focus on, you know, the problem, the trauma, the, you know, the complex you have, whatever, and don't often create opportunities for people to see what's amazing about them. So I agree with you. That's really powerful.
Yes. Yeah. So the shadow material is a chapter in my book that, you know, the contribution, one of the major contributions that Carl Jung made to psychotherapy and the archetype, is just truly understanding that we all have shadow material. We all have inherent split within us, and that we're attempting unconsciously to suppress everything that we judge and loathe about ourselves out of fear that if someone were to get a glimpse of it, they would be absolutely horrified and repelled. And this touches in on memory that goes back to the beginning when we were living indigenous tribal lifetimes. And if we were not thought of favorably within those tribes, we were expelled. And that was an equivalent of a death sentence because we weren't around the fire. We weren't sharing in the day, in the day's catch, in the day's hunt. And so we carry all of this with us, and it creates significant anxiety and fear that's reinforced in this current lifetime if we've had stressful, chaotic, and abusive experiences. And we're all unconsciously defending against all of that. And so bringing it to light and helping people embrace what it is that they judge about themselves just changes everything. This is about learning how to fall in love with yourself. And the focus with this modality is understanding that when we work primarily with the self and we don't project anything onto other people that we're in relationship, then everything outside of us changes in response to us changing. And that's quantum physics that has taught us that.
Yeah, that's quite a refreshing, refreshing take on things. And I loved what you said in the beginning about people being really oriented towards victim and seeing other people as abusers and perpetrators. And it sounds like your model is really shaking them out of that and fully owning their experience. Sort of, I think that's the essence, like, about vibration and resonance too. So when we know what we're resonating and we take responsibility for that, people around us change because we change our resonance.
Exactly. As the law of attraction teaches us. And what's amazing is that, you know, what's key to being able to take people on this journey is under no circumstances do we judge any behaviors or any patterns that have existed up until the time they come in to seek out this kind of therapy, because we actually celebrate it, because I believe from my own journey that all of my dysfunctional behaviors and patterns and tendencies to be codependent and project onto other people the reasons why I'm not getting my needs met were all very relevant to keeping me here in my body on the planet until I was able to become mature and stable enough that I could actually take some very deep look into the self without feeling anxiety and the need to defend it. And so an important thing to talk about is that all the ways we show up to identify that the other is responsible for meeting our needs and reflecting us back to us in a way that makes us feel better about ourselves, which is the collective conditioning, that all comes from earlier critical stages of development when our needs were not being met by those whose responsibility it was to meet our needs and be responsive to our needs. So this is just overcompensating at a very deep unconscious level for what we didn't get. And that is also a very important piece for people to become aware of, because that helps them accept everything that they've done in all up to the point that they come into therapy. And because just judging anything about the self will continue to create splits. And we want to heal those splits. We want to integrate those splits and help people come back into alignment with themselves.
So it sounds like it's sort of honoring the defensive yes. pattern, like you said, for having gotten you to survive, having helped you survive to the moment, that moment, you know, and that seeing that sort of brings into forgiveness, like you can forgive, you know, whatever you had to do to survive in a way.
Right.
Is that what
no
you're saying?
Judgment. Yes, because all the teachers I've ever studied with have always taught us that everything that we have experienced is perfect and appropriate. Otherwise, we wouldn't have experienced it. This is essentially what we came to experience, was to explore the contrast of being physical in this dimension. And through exploring the contrast, we become aware and we awaken to the truth about who we really are, what our profound capacity is as light beings. And we all have that capacity.
So what are some of the really challenging issues that you've helped people work through with this method?
I don't think there's anything I haven't worked with people. So it's chronic childhood sexual abuse. It's catastrophic trauma, the death of a child, the death of a spouse, personality disorder, psychosis. Psychosis as a result of substance abuse. That's been, you know, this is something that's been showing up in a big way in my practice, is that when I was growing up in the 70s in Toronto, we didn't have to worry about whether the marijuana that we were experimenting with was treated with, you know, synthetic opiates. And I'm seeing a lot of adolescents, high school kids, who, unbeknownst to them, after smoking one joint, their minds completely fall apart. And that's a tough one. That's a really tough one. But I still work with it with the understanding that this is the extreme of what splitting looks like, and with the understanding that this occurs when the mental constructs break down. So, you know, I'm in as awe as anyone, and so deeply humbled by my ability to just learn and notice and pay attention. And by doing that and continuing to heal and evolve myself, I seem to have the capacity to help people get beyond a whole lot of the distorted expressions that come from trauma. I believe that everything that you find in the DSM has trauma as an antecedent. There's no question in my mind. I don't think there's any exception.
Right, I'm with you. I'm with you too. It's like I think we could sort of all chalk everything up to PTSD, and all, like, the whole DSM-3 could just be a catalog of different ways people manifest PTSD. I'm totally on the same page with you. And I find that it's so humbling too. Like I loved what you said about feeling sort of humbled, and I can feel when you're talking that you have, like, a really very grounded presence, and that openness and presence and groundedness and humility, when we have that in the face of people's trauma, is a huge healing agent. I think no matter what modality you're using, when we can show up as a compassionate witness to somebody else's pain, magical things happen.
Right, exactly.
And when we can hold, if we can hold a bigger frame than you're a victim, too.
Correct.
That's really helpful.
I call it wider. I go. It's one of my mantras is we're going to go really wide, and I invite people to go wider. And it's funny because often parents of adolescents will be texting or calling me at 10 o'clock at night and screaming into the phone, "I cannot go any wider," and I'll just wait till they hang up, and I'll text, "Yes, you can," and they can, and they do. And so we're taking people beyond their comfort zones. But another piece you just brought in, which is another central theme of this modality, is in order for us as therapists or anybody out there who is a healing agent and facilitating a healing experience for other people, you have to be consciously working on yourself at this level. You have to know that your stuff is always in the room, and you have to be aware that it's going to get triggered. And so you can only take people as far as you've taken yourself.
And, you know, that's the part that I love. I love to lean into that because, you know, like as healers, we're our first and best client, right? And I always see an opportunity where I'm uncomfortable to lean into that and go, all right, this is awesome. This is another place for me to work in myself. And I have the same thing. Like, it's funny that you said wide, because I always imagine like opening my heart wider. Like as if I could like rip my heart open so wide that I could fit it around that whole situation. And sometimes I have to really, really, really stretch it to get it that big.
Yes. And it's amazing. And one of the things I share with folks early on in the work that we do is to identify that most traditional therapy has created a hierarchy in the relationship between the therapist, quote, expert, and the client. And I put that completely aside and identify that that's not how we work here. That I can only, the analogy I use is that we're hiking in the woods and I'm just a couple of steps ahead of you, and I'm just going to look back from time to time and say, watch out for that root. I tripped over it. It hurt like hell. I get if you need to trip over it. Just let you know it's painful. And so, you know, again, we want to be as aware as we can be about our stuff. Therapists in general are drawn to this work because unconsciously we're attempting to rescue ourselves through rescuing the other. And we have to know that. And we have to be aware of that. And so that's the only way that we could ever truly embody the fullest capacity to facilitate significant change for the other. Because until we do that, then it's really never always going to be about the client. There will always be, we will always have some hidden agendas present, whether we are willing to admit it or not.
Well, especially if you go back to vibration, because we attract vibrationally clients that have matchy wounds with us, you know, and come in with your issue du jour. And if you're not humble enough to admit that and do your own work and continue to and live in that power up, you know, place that you talked about, that's not so good.
Right. I mean, it's the reflection. We're constantly sitting with our own reflection.
Right. And so much can be learned that way inside us.
Yeah. And we have to be honest that there are some days where it's difficult to accept that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know. And because I don't know about you, but I'm always working at my own edge. My client work will push me to my edge.
Always.
And always, yeah. And for me, yeah, it's like really important to have supervision. Like I have somebody I talk to when I get triggered, and that's important for me.
Right. And the fact that you're always on like pushing that edge indicates how dynamic your practice is.
Oh, your practice will dry up if I think you don't work your edge. I see it happen with other healers.
Right. For sure. Yeah. So it takes a lot of self-awareness and a lot of humility and a lot of gratitude and the recognition that the work that we're doing is incredibly sacred.
And how can people connect with you? How can they find you or find out more about your model?
So the book, Beyond the Imprint, is available on Amazon.com. I have created a nonprofit because this modality is bigger than what my capacity would be to develop it to its fullest capacity. So the nonprofit is called the Healing Alliance of Central Virginia, and the website is HACVA.org, and they can find everything they need to know about me and how to contact me on that website.
Great. And we'll post a link for it too on the radio station webpage, on Power Radio webpage.
Excellent.
So people can click right on that link and find you and your book and your website and your foundation. That's really great that you did that.
Yeah, it was incorporated in May. We are having the fundraiser on the 1st of October. We have a contract on the property, which is spectacular. And it's bringing to mind, as I talk about this, that I am actually talking about this modality as the missing piece in mental health counseling for working with adolescents, because the majority of therapists will not work with adolescents, because I believe the majority of therapists aren't aware that their stuff is in the room, and adolescence is all about differentiation and nonconformity. So I think a lot of therapists struggle with what adolescents bring to the therapeutic experience, but I've been working with them for 8 years with this modality, and the shifts are so profound and so quick. And so that's what I'm the most excited about.
I'm so excited about it too. And I hope that everybody reaches out and looks at your stuff. And I want to thank you guys for joining us today on Empower Radio, where we are healing the planet one person at a time.